Hello, my name is Thomas Davis. I am the minister at Carloway Free Church in the Isle of Lewis in the Outer Hebrides, way up in the northwest of Scotland.
Hello, my name is Andy Longway. I'm the minister of London City Presbyterian Church, and welcome to the Jesus Today podcast.
Thank you so much for joining us again. It's been so good to hear from you. We're so grateful for all the feedback and encouragement that you send in. A reminder that you can connect with us on Twitter at Jesus Today Pod. You can email us at hello@jesustodaypodcast.com. We're always so encouraged when you get in touch with us, and we're so thankful that you're on this journey with us together.
Today, Thomas, we are delighted to have Anne McDonald. I met Anne recently at the Teens Conference. I'd heard of her before that, and she led an incredible weekend, and I was able to sit in on her seminar, and she just knocked it out of the park. So I'm absolutely thrilled that we've got her on today. A bit annoyed that David Meredith stole our thunder on the Health Church podcast, but we can live with that and we can cover more new ground. But Anne, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, it's great. It's great to have you here, Anne. Just maybe for our listeners, and for the listeners who don't listen to David Meredith's podcast, maybe you can just tell us a wee bit about yourself. Just a wee bit about your background and your current role now.
Yeah, so I'm the student and young adult worker at Bon Accord Free Church in Aberdeen. I am married to Rob and I have three children. I have Hannah, who's 14, Luke, who's 12, and Jonathan, who's 6. I used to be an English teacher before I did this job. I don't know. Is there anything else you'd like to know?
I did not know that you used to be an English teacher. That's very interesting. I hated English in school. So I admire anybody who can do English. So we're going to start. We're going to start with our favourite game. He's right, I'm wrong. Of course, today it might be she's right, I'm wrong. We'll just have to see. Andy, what's our topic for today?
So, since Christmas is just round the corner, 36 days until Christmas, can you believe it? And so, what Christmas film or film gets us in the Christmas mood? That's the question for today.
Nice. Okay, good. So, well, Christmas time films, it's always a time to sit down, watch something again and again and again, something that we've watched for years. I'll go first because I have the obvious choice. Ultimate thing to watch at Christmas time is Elf. Absolutely love Elf. Just, it's the kind of film you can just watch again and again and again. When Buddy the Elf does that enormous burp and then says, "Did you hear that?" That is like the pinnacle of cinema. What's the word? Cinematic quality. Just outstanding. Love it. What about you, Andy?
So I think it's just become a tradition over years. I can't remember the first time I ever watched Home Alone. I think it was probably out just as I was born. So it was in the 1990s. But Home Alone, particularly the first one, it's just good vibes and good feelings and really puts me in the Christmas mood. Anne, what do you enjoy watching?
Well, I feel like I might be breaking the rule a bit, but we love the BBC adaptation of Pride and Prejudice. It's not technically a film, but I know it's not actually technically that Christmassy either, but but it's just really enjoyable to watch when you've got that time around Christmas to watch It's just delicious TV, I think, and just really funny and witty and feel good.
Pride and Prejudice, honestly, that sounds to me like 2 hours of torture.
It's a lot more than 2 hours, Thomas. But it's not torture.
Oh, my goodness. My goodness.
I could give my vote to Pride and Prejudice. Maybe not at Christmas time. I just watch it, you know. But Colin Firth does a great job of Mr. Darcy.
Yeah. I mean, come on. Like, really? Mr. Darcy or Buddy the Elf. I mean, come on. You know.
When you put it like that, Thomas, fair enough.
Well, that's one for our listeners to decide. There's a broad range of genres here. You got Home Alone, you've got Pride and Prejudice, or you have Elf. What do you love to watch at Christmas? Or maybe we're missing one. Let us know. We would absolutely love. We'd love to hear from you. For our topic today, as you all know, our podcast is called Jesus Today, and we're always wanting to come back to the fact that we are following Jesus today. We want to talk about all the highs and lows, the blessings and joys, the challenges that 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 can bring. And we want to keep coming back to Jesus, the fact that he is the one that we want to follow, that we want to live for, that we want to know more and more of. But I think for all of us, we recognize that there are so many times in our lives when we can be drawn away from Jesus. And so I guess our title today is Following Jesus, Pulled Away from Jesus. And there's lots of stuff that can pull us away. And we'd love to talk about that a wee bit more together. And maybe we should just start with ourselves. You know, for you, Anne, looking back at your own life, what's pulled you away from Jesus over the years?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think for me, quite often it can be busyness, like getting too busy and just thinking over, like, at various seasons that doing stuff is really important, even if it's church things, and getting just very, very busy involved in things, and then actually neglecting time in God's word, being dependent on him, just being still and knowing that he is God, and taking time to delight and be refreshed in Jesus. I think that could be on reflection, that's probably the thing that pulled me away from him the most, I think.
Yeah, that's so true, so easy happened. What about you, Andy? What would you say?
Yeah, just like Anne, busyness. I think, you know, there are so many good things that I can easily, my heart, which is an idol factory, will turn them into God things. And so, you know, it can be something really good that just takes my attention, my affection away from Jesus. So I enjoy sports, I enjoy watching football, and that can so often captivate me and shape my moods. It can be good things as well. It can be things like church things that I get so busy with, but you can be busy doing what you think is God's work, but you're spending very little time with God and enjoying him. And so I think the mix of my own heart's propensity to take good things and make them God things, and also just being busy and distracted from Jesus, spending time with him. You, Thomas?
Yeah, I mean, I would echo all that. I think the other thing that I would say, maybe two things that probably work hand in hand. I think one is a desire to achieve, you know, so you kind of want, you know, always want to achieve stuff. And sometimes that, like you say, can even be wanting to achieve stuff that's within the church setting, but yet I do that with my eyes off Jesus, you know, and actually think, you know, I want to do that really, really well. I want that to be successful. And I think I've always had that desire, you know, right through school. I think that's why I hated English, because I was rubbish at it. But, you know, you wanted to do well. And that still is something that I struggle with. I think the other thing is, like, that desire to be in control, you know, and wanting to plan things out. And I often find myself, I keep coming back to the same mistakes, you know, where I think about the future, about the coming weeks or months, you know, and I think, oh, you know, I need to kind of make sure all this happens and try and hold it all together. And my wife often tells me, look, you're not trusting God enough. And that is so true. And I think that definitely is something that leads me away from Jesus, that desire to just be in control. And I think what I would say is that in my experience, it's not that I forget about Jesus, is that I just put him in the corner. And it's like, yeah, I want to keep you, but you're in the corner, because I'm gonna sort of be in charge just now. So that is definitely a trap I fall into. And I think it's a reality for everyone. I think, you know, everybody is you know, facing this kind of battle. So yeah, you're working with students, and you're working with young people, and, you know, the era we're in just now brings a whole pile of things that can just pull us away from Jesus. Mm-hmm. What are some of the things that you see people encountering and having to deal with at the moment?
Yeah, so there's just so many things for our young people to navigate at the moment, I think. Lots of different messages that they get from the society that they're just immersed in. I mean, we all are, but I think especially at that age and stage, the things they're taking, you know, watching, just what's taught to them as they come out of school as just acceptable way of perceiving of self, like your identity, who you are, that can be really harmful. Just that idea that everything the answers to who you are inside yourself, and that the kind of barometer of what's true is your own heart, which of course is just very counter to what we see in God's word. And I think what we can see just bearing, you know, in real life, as we live our lives, we can see actually our hearts are not a very reliable barometer of how we should live or what is really true. And like it says in Jeremiah, our hearts are deceitful. And I can certainly see how I can see that in myself. So that message is kind of underpinned, you know, even from very, very early ages, this generation has been conditioned to think that, even from things that even as Christians we think are quite innocuous, you know, like the Disney movies that they grew up with were all giving them that message, you know, just be true to yourself, and, you know, I think we see the fruit of that now, and it can lead them to be quite confused about, well, who am I? And, you know, our feelings, everything being based on our feelings, and that can be very hard to unravel. And that picture of in Ephesians 4 of being tossed this way and that way and being pulled this direction and that direction, when we've got this intrinsic, like our own heart is the barometer, that doesn't lead us in a healthy direction.
That's what do you see that, Andy?
Yeah, in fact, you know, as Anna was saying that, if one of the things I can certainly say, when I was a teenager, and I see this in so many other teenagers, they're deeply thoughtful. Mm-hmm. They're looking for answers. They'll listen to music. They'll read books. Mm-hmm. They'll watch movies. Their minds are like sponges. And I think mine was when I was a teenager, but I had no one to help me kind of bring it to my level and connect the dots of, actually, I could find out who I am in Jesus from the Word. What about you, Thomas?
I think it's something that we're all, it's just something that our society, like you said, Anne, it's kind of been just fed to us, you know, through movies, through media, through music, you know, all the way that we grow up. And I think that has resulted in a generation that is very much driven by preferences, you know. And I think that's seen even in, you know, even in church settings. I think it also, you know, can manifest itself where we only want to let people so far into our lives, you know, because actually, like, I think I love the phrase you used there, that like the barometer of our, you know, our identity is set by our own hearts, you know, that's the kind of driving force. And it's almost like that's untouchable, you know, and that people can't come near. And I think I love the way you spoke about, you know, being tossed to and fro. I think that's exactly how it can be. Can you unpack that a wee bit more, Anne? Like, do you see some examples of that? What are the ways in which that to and fro of today is showing itself?
Yeah, so, one big area is that kind of, is sexuality being kind of so tied up with your identity. And so many of our young people are given really harmful messages about that, and I think when the way you think about that subject is just self-driven, it can just lead you into really like harmful places. And when we contrast that to the picture we have in God's word, it's so much better. And I think, you know, watching TV shows and movies, one of the things that I've noticed is so often I think we're losing the category of friendship, because quite often when you watch a TV show, you see like two people becoming really close, and then it becomes romantic or sexual, same sex, opposite sex, doesn't matter. And I just think that's kind of tragic that it always has to end up that way, because I think what's happening with our young people is they're losing that sense of what a really deep, intimate, healthy friendship can be. We're losing that category. One thing that kind of, it was a movie, I don't know how many years ago it was now, but I don't know if you've heard of the movie Ammonite. It had Kate Winslet and I think Saoirse Ronan maybe starring in it. And I think that movie just kind of epitomizes this thing that I've noticed in our culture, and that's affecting our young people. Because that movie, I think it was about a real historical woman who was specialized in fossils, and I think set in the Victorian era. And she had a friendship with this couple, a man and his wife, and she would stay with them. And in the movie, the woman from the couple and this other woman were really good friends, and that's historically accurate. But in the movie, they made them lovers. And I remember reading an article about it, and the man who'd directed the movie or who'd written the script, I can't remember, but he was just saying, oh yeah, we just felt that that was where that was going. No, there's no historical basis for this, but we just felt that must have been what it was. And I just thought, that's just such a, you know, a diagnosis of our times, that we cannot conceive of a really deep, healthy friendship. So I think that's something that our young people are a bit at sea at, is healthy relationships, because we're not given kind of, they're not following a kind of biblical framework, that healthy design for relationships that we see in God's word.
That's such a fascinating point, and I think such an important one, because you know, I've seen similar examples of that, you know, where you have historical records of people who were good friends, and then, you know, you have the people looking at it today through today's culture to say, oh, they must have actually been lovers, you know, and like you say, that you can't actually have that, we're losing that category of friendship. That's just a really, really interesting, really interesting point. I need to watch more cultured movies as well, Anne. This is
I know. Maybe try Pride and Prejudice, Thomas. Anne, I remember at the teens conference, you kind of did like a biblical theology of why, of friendship. Could you unpack some of that, give our listeners a flavour of what the Bible has to say on friendship?
So I think the Bible has such a high view of friendship. It's such a beautiful picture that we get. And I think even some of what, you know, we've been talking about has can filter into the way the church, you know, we've made things quite individualistic. And even in terms of the way we think of our salvation, obviously that's so important. Our individual relationship with God is so important. But the Bible has such a beautiful picture of community, and you know, we've got that vertical relationship, which is so primary and foundational, but also that horizontal relationship with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And so right from the beginning, you know, right from the Garden of Eden, it's clear that the one thing after everything is good, the one thing that is not good is for man to be alone, and just how intrinsic it is to our design that God wants us to be in community with each other. Well, because we are made in his image, and he is Trinity, a perfect, perfect community of love. And so that we see that all through the Bible. We see some beautiful examples of friendship, and like that, like David and Jonathan. I love the relationship between David and Jonathan. That's another one that with our 21st century lenses, we can look back and read things in there that aren't there. And just, it's kind of tragic, because it's such a beautiful picture of healthy, deep, intimate friendship. But, you know, Proverbs is so rich on this subject as well. There's so much in Proverbs that's really beautiful about how important friendships are in terms of forming our character, you know, who we spend time with, and how that can shape us. But also the importance in our friendships to be able to speak the truth in love, and sometimes have to say the harder things. And to have friends who are willing to do that is just so important. But also us being careful of our own hearts, that we're humble enough to hear the harder things from our friends, and take those on board.
I think that's, I think that's such a helpful thing to think through. And, you know, we think about, you know, following Jesus, pulled away from Jesus, like friendship can be a massive influence in either direction, you know. And you know, I can look back at my own life, and I can see, you know, the temptation to follow friends in a direction that pulls me away from Jesus. And you know, that I think was definitely harder when I was a teenager and going through high school, but it can affect you at any stage in life. But I can also see friends who've pulled me back to Jesus, you know, and who've actually been an incredible blessing at just actually helping me to reassess myself, to think, oh, hang on, look, I'm going in a wrong direction. And sometimes, you know, like you say, that can be through the direct challenge that a good friend will give you. But often it's also just through the healthy influence, you know, where you just are alongside somebody, and you look at them and you're like, oh,
yeah,
that is reminding me where I want to be. And so I think like friendship's a massive, massive force in both helping us follow Jesus or pulling us away from Jesus. And then I look at my own heart and I think, and my own life, and I think, okay, well, what am I to others? You know, am I helping my friends follow Jesus, or am I saying and do things that might lead them away from Jesus? Mm-hmm. And I would have done both at different times in my life, and yet it's such an important thing to think through.
Yeah, as you were talking there, Thomas, I was thinking of that picture in Psalm 1. It has those two images, doesn't it? The picture of sitting and standing and walking with the wicked, and that kind of progression if you're heading that direction, or just the nourishment of being.
That's so true, so true. And coupled to that is another thing that I think is actually incredibly important for us to remember as we're following Jesus today, and that is just the importance of being friendly. You know, I remember speaking to an old elder who I, you know, have a huge amount of respect for, and we were talking about this, and he said, you know, we must never forget the power of being friendly. Just in all sorts of different situations, especially difficult situations, to show, you know, a warmth and a care and a patience in the difficult situations, not just the good ones. And I guess that defines a good friendship, you know, the one that can actually walk through a storm together and stick close.
Yeah, that's such a good point. And, you know, one of the things that can really help us or free us to be friendly is when we are really grounded in our security in Christ, because you know, working with lots of young people, I know that especially coming out of COVID, I know we're a couple of years down the track now, but it's been really challenging for so many young people to just overcome a lot of the insecurities that can stop you from being friendly and stop you from being outward looking and stop you from sort of wanting to go and make new friends, because quite often you can be like, oh, they probably don't want to, they wouldn't want me to go and talk to them, or they wouldn't want someone like me to be their friend. But actually, when we are secure in just the love that God has for us, and we know that in him we are fully known and fully loved, then it's such a liberating thing, because it helps you, like Tim Keller's so good on this, to be self-forgetful and to lift your eyes off yourself. Sam Albury, I think he says this, which I think is such a helpful thing. You can be two types of people when you walk into a room, a here I am or a there you are. And the here I am person can be two ways. You can be here I am. You can be here I am. Look at me. Listen to me. I've got all the stories. I'm so, you know, that's obviously not very healthy for friendship. But you could also be a here I am in my insecurities. No one's going to want to talk to me. And that doesn't lend itself. And so as Christians, when we are really focused on the security we have in Christ, we can be a there you are. How are you getting on? What are you worried about? And it's just such a liberating thing. And I think working with young people, that's so important, just bringing them back to their identity in Christ and how that actually works out, even in this practical area of friendship as well.
That's fantastic. Yeah, I love that. Both the Keller self-forgetfulness, knowing who you are, having your, you know, being secure in your identity in Christ, fully known, fully loved. And yeah, that's brilliant. Here I am, there you are. I'm going to use that in a sermon. And maybe we could dig a little deeper just in this area. So, you know, as you work for Bon Accord as students and young adults, you will see students coming from different contexts and then coming to Aberdeen to study, but they're at that point where they're going to have to make friends in the context of, say, the church, and then helping them tie the dots to their security and their identity in Christ. What does that look like in your ministry? How do you do that? How do you help facilitate friendships, and how do you help them know their identity in Christ?
Two different ways, I suppose. You know, some of my work is doing talks and seminars, that kind of thing. So talking to a group and trying to teach them in that environment. And I think that can be really helpful. But probably maybe what's more helpful is a lot of my time is one-to-one discipleship. So meeting up with students and just listening to where they're at, what their understanding is of their relationship with Christ, and just helping them from where they are to look at God's word together. I think that's really helpful to do that, rather than sometimes the temptation when you're kind of trying to help disciple someone is to just bring a verse and say, oh, I have a verse for that. But actually what I think is much more helpful is let's go to God's word together and let's have a look and see what it says. And it's just amazing to see how God works as you're engaging in his word together. So that would be, I think, the primary way, reminding them of the truth of their identity in Christ, and then helping them to see how that practically works out. Because there is, even in myself, I can see it again and again, that disconnect between the head knowledge and knowing it in your core, and it kind of filtering out in the way, in your attitudes and in your actions. And so really that piece is just the Holy Spirit at work, and just praying for them, praying with them, and just helping them to see the importance of praying for themselves, for each other. But also, you know, it is really important to give them practical advice and just say, why don't you invite a few people around? You know, you're great at baking. Why don't you have like some people around and bake some cakes together? Or just helping them maybe find a practical path into friendship as well, and encouraging them that other people actually do feel the same way as you. You know, reach out to them. They would love for you to do that, just giving them that encouragement too.
I think that's such an important point, and you know, that so often when we struggle with things, we feel like we're the only one who feels like this. Mm-hmm. You know, and yet actually the truth is we all feel like it. You know, we all feel like it, and all the struggles, all the insecurities, all the temptations, that they're things that we all face and feel, and to be reminded of that and reassured, look, other people feel this way, and other people will actually find this really, really helpful. What you said there about just, you know, going to God's word and letting God's word shape your thinking, it's just such an important and helpful reminder. You know, even just thinking, you know, what we're reading each week, you know, to think, how can this help just boost my confidence and my sense of security this week? Because, you know, we're talking about friendship. One of the things that I would say that's really true in our culture, and you know, I can remember this all the way back to primary school, is that in so many ways today, friendship is conditional. Mm-hmm. That your friendship, you know, with other people, there's actually a whole pile of hidden conditions attached to that. And in school, that can be, sometimes it can be as silly as, you know, having the right pair of trainers, you know, or having the right hairstyle, or whatever it may be. When I was in school, it was a centre parting. I'm still looking forward to the comeback of the centre parting. That was...
I think it has come back, Thomas. Good news.
Well, look at that. Look at that. I'm a trendsetter, influencer. Look at that. It's so funny, you know, and I see my children now, you know, they'll go to school and, you know, for a long time, you know, the trend was to have a side parting. And I was like, I look at them and I'm like, you would not have been seen dead in the 90s with a side parting, you know, unless you wanted to be dead, you know, then you would go out with one. So it's just terrible. And, you know, in so many ways, friendship's conditional. But and even today, I would say, like, friendship is conditional, and especially in terms of your views on things, you know, and you can certainly see on social media that if you articulate something in the wrong way, you know, people who you think are your friends can pounce on you very, very quickly. And in contrast to that lies Jesus, whose love and friendship is just, is by definition unconditional, which is amazing.
Yeah, that's such a good point, Thomas. And I think that's something that you want to help them to see is having received that grace from Jesus to have grace shape your relationship with others. Because, you know, we can often be like easily hurt or easily offended, and especially if our friends don't agree with us, or, you know, and I think something that's really healthy about friendship is when you can disagree and kind of still love one another. And I think that is something we really are missing in the culture we're in. We all have to be in echo chambers. We all have to only be with our tribe. And I think within our, you know, our Christian friendships, there can be things that you might disagree with, and that's okay. But especially with our unbelieving friends, just, you know, having that grace and being able to love others even when they have very different views on things, but being able to show grace to them, and truth together, but being really gracious.
One of the things that, you know, when I read the New Testament, especially the Gospels with Jesus, is I remember there's an old quip, I can't remember it right now, but they said one of the greatest miracles that Jesus ever performed was he was in his 30s and he managed to maintain 12 close friendships to, you know, fellow men. And that is a gift, because so many men and women, you can struggle to maintain relationships in your adult life. But you know, you read through the Gospels, and I think there's one part we love to play on is what a friend we have in Jesus. And you see him, he's incredible with people, he's incredible with those who are his friends. But one part we maybe underplay is that Jesus always spoke the truth in love. And so you read through Luke's Gospel, and he's always going for a meal with those who are his enemies, inverted commas, like the Pharisees. And when he's with them, he's not scared, as they, you know, ask sort of like leading questions, to come back at them and say, well, hold on a minute, here's your blind side. And then he makes his own friends feel really uncomfortable by the friends he makes, whether it's with talking with a Samaritan woman again, you know, the enemy of James and John, who want to bring down thunder from heaven. And I think that you just see in Jesus this amazing model of what it looks like to befriend, to be truly, you know, he's so comfortable in his own skin that he's willing to push back on people when they're trying to, you know, push him in the corner. And then you just see how gentle he can be with those who are really struggling, or those who are in need, who have been shamed. And so just sort of growing in our knowledge of Christ, so that it can equip us to grow in our own, you know, engagement with others, is such an important thing. Thomas, you said at the outset of the show that, you know, we're thinking about following Jesus while being pulled in other directions. And are there any other areas you see, you know, struggles for students, for young adults, of where they may be being pulled away from Jesus?
Yeah, so there's a massive issue with not just our young guys, but our young girls as well, but maybe it is more common with guys, but pornography being a really harmful and damaging thing that many of them struggle with. And it's such a tragic thing, because as young people are using things online, there's sinister forces at work trying to entice them into these things. And so from a very young age, they can be exposed to it and can form addictions. So it's a really complicated thing to deal with in some ways, but also it has such harmful effects on feelings of guilt and shame, which can make them feel very reluctant to even come to the Lord. It can just build them, help them, it can make them feel just like they are not worthy, even if they know in their heads, they're just so full of the shame and the guilt of that. So in those situations, it's really important for them to see that this is not something you can just in your own strength stop. There's this sense of filling up with the wonder of Christ, and desire to follow him has to come first. And then the desire that I think what I've seen is the more you have your eyes fixed on Jesus, the more your disgust for your sin grows, and the distaste for doing it. That's one thing that's helpful, but also just helping them to bring it into the light and to be able to talk about it and repent and confess, and just reiterating the power of repentance and confession, and that this is such a liberating thing, and cutting off the hand that causes you to sin, or the eye that, you know, plucking out that kind of attitude of just let's do everything that we practically can to cut all of the kind of avenues for this temptation out. So there's a whole host of things that need to be put in place to encourage to support our young people as they deal with this. But I think what's really important is for them not to have the sense that this is unspeakable or something that we can't address in the church. The church should be a place where, of all places, it's safe to talk about these things, because we know we are sinners. This is not surprising to us. We are always going to struggle. You know, everyone has different struggles, but it should always be a place where we can talk about these things and encourage one another.
Yeah, I think that's just so important to say, you know, and again, it comes back to, you know, that that strength of gospel friendship. You know, we really can support one another, you know, right to the deepest levels of the things that we are most ashamed of. And I think that's something that's so important to highlight, especially to anybody who's listening. You know, we're talking about being pulled away from Jesus. Maybe there's people who are listening who are like, that is me. I really have been pulled away from Jesus a long way. And I've got no doubt that you know, that brings with it loads of feelings of guilt and shame and frustration. And, you know, I've been there myself, you know, over the years, where times you've just wandered away. And I remember hearing somebody say something that I've never forgotten, you know, that, you know, we can so easily be pulled away from Jesus, and we can take many, many steps away from Jesus. And the person said, you know, it doesn't matter how many steps you have taken away from Jesus, it's only ever one step back. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was such a helpful thing to remember, you know, and if you are listening and you think you've wandered a long way, you know, it is only ever one step back. And then that is just the amazing thing about Jesus. Just, you know, and, you know, we talk about us following him. Really, he's actually following us, you know, and he's not letting us go. Mm-hmm. He's sticking with us. And it's always only one step back to him.
Yeah, when you said that last line there, Thomas, it reminds me of what it says at this, you know, the end of Psalm 23, that his love and his mercy, his goodness and his mercy follow us all the days of our life. And Jesus is always pursuing us with that relentless love, a love that never fails, a love that is steadfast. And, you know, it just, there's nothing that compares to it. And Anne, when you said there, you know, that whether it's pornography, whatever it is, whatever sin that draws us away from Jesus, the temptation is that we can wallow in our guilt and our shame. And I think it was Robert Murray McChain or someone who said, for every look that you take at yourself, you need to take 10 looks at Christ.
Yeah.
And it's when we take ourselves, you know, it's when we look away from ourselves, look outside to Christ, that one of Robert Murray McChain's mentors said, Chalmers, that there's an expulsive power of a new affection.
Yes, I love that.
As we see the beauty of Christ, as we see the glory of Christ, it helps draw us back and recalibrate us and renew us to that which is what satisfies our souls, which gives us meaning and doesn't leave us feeling guilty, shameful, but actually it reminds us that we're so loved and holy in Christ. So, yeah, I just think that's, what both of you guys have said there, just tremendous good news for the soul.
Anne, thank you so, so much for being with us today. It's just been brilliant to talk this through. It is just such a wonderful reminder that in a world that is pulling us away from Jesus all the time, he's always ready to take us back, and we come together, like you said, you know, earlier on, you know, yes, that personal relationship with Jesus is so crucial, but also that collective community relationship with one another is just absolutely massive. So thank you so much, Anne. It's been just fantastic to have you here.
Oh, thank you so much, really enjoyed it.
Well, before we go though, we are sponsored by Christian Focus. And so, Anne, we love to ask all of our guests, is there a Christian-focused book that you've really enjoyed that you would love to recommend to our listeners?
Yes. I think I'm a bit late to the party, but I've just discovered Donald MacLeod and his writing. And A Faith to Live By is something that I've recently just been loving. The chapter on the atonement is just amazing. And just what you were saying about, if you're looking for something that will give you that focus on the wonder of who Jesus is and that expulsive power that can have, I feel like that's an amazing book and that's an amazing chat. Just looking at our Savior and what he has done for us and the way that he writes about it blew my mind and moved my heart. And it was just wonderful.
Amazing. Well, we are big Donald MacLeod fans, and that book is a wonderful book, and you know it is, and I think one of the things that makes it so wonderful is that, you know, it really is accessible to anybody. You know, it's not written in a complicated way, but yet as you read it, it just stretches your mind. So that's a great recommendation, and we wholeheartedly endorse that one to all of our listeners.
Amen. Well, thank you to all of our listeners. Please do get in touch with any feedback, any topics you'd love us to discuss. You can follow us on X at Jesus Today. Is that the handle, Thomas?
Jesus Today Pod. Come on, Andy. We've only been doing this for a year.
It's Monday morning, Thomas. My brain is not here. So yeah, please do get in touch. But thank you so much for listening. And thank you once again, Anne, for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.